Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here, the Eric Erickson Show, across the state of Georgia, around the nation and the world on the internet. The phone number, if you want to be a part of the program, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. We should begin with impeachment, but this happened last night on Fox Business with Lou Dobbs.
I want to take up with you a parochial issue, if
sure.
I may, and that is in Georgia, the state of Georgia, Brian Kemp, the governor who was elected without any equivocation about this, any reservation. He was elected because President Trump stood with him.
That's right.
And he won. He is now telling the President of the United States to go to hell. He is apparently tomorrow going to tap Kelly Loeffler, a big donor and Mitt Romney ally, to take the U.S. seat being vacated by Johnny Isaacson.
I think it's unfortunate, but that's his prerogative, and he's going to do it. He's not going to be pushed around by the president or anybody else. And I think to a certain extent, it's some kind of parochial politics in Georgia.
You know, do you think that, I mean, do you really think that, or is this, in point of fact, a man who was never a Trump supporter, who, by the way, is going to tear asunder the Republican Party in Georgia with these acts?
Attempt to. At the end of the day, the president's going to be up in a year, and he will do very well in Georgia, and everybody else will get back in line. But right now, it's his prerogative to do this, and he's going to do it. So it may not be the wisest choice, but it's certainly the choice he's going to make.
That's Ed Rollins and Lou Dobbs talking about this. I suspect Lou Dobbs will be falling head over heels in love with Kelly Loeffler after she's announced. I have seen excerpts of her speech that she will make shortly after 10 o'clock this morning. She will come out as pro-life, against the abortion on demand culture, which she will call immoral. She will support Lindsey Graham's 20-week abortion ban legislation that's pending in the Senate and will soon be voted upon. She will call impeachment a circus to which she is opposed. She will take on Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders by name and say essentially that the media would have you think every prominent woman in America is a liberal or a socialist, and she's a Christian, a Trump supporter, and supports capitalism. It's amazing to watch this effort by people who really don't know what's happening on the ground in Georgia and the people who just want to hump the president's leg. Listen here, I'm voting for the president in 2020. Given the choice of Donald Trump or any of the Democrats, Donald Trump is a far superior choice to the Democrats, no matter the amount of shaming the Democrats do to try to suggest that supporting the president is racist or whatnot. Given the choice of a man who's kept the economy strong versus those who would destroy it, given the choice between a man who supports the culture of life versus those who support a cult of death, I am totally on board supporting the president in 2020. But the idea that there are people out there who just want to hump the president's leg, that they want to get his attention, that they fling poo at anyone who doesn't support the president in the most trident terms, I think is absurd. You know, believe it or not, there are a lot of people in the United States of America who lean to the right, who support Republicans, but they're not huge on the president. They're not big fans of the president. I'm kin to a number of people. They voted for him begrudgingly in 2016 because of Hillary Clinton. They don't particularly care for him. They would love some alternatives, and they have flirted with trying to hold him accountable. They may support him, but support Democrats in Congress just so there's some level of accountability they don't think Republicans are giving him. These are the sorts of people you can win back with a conservative who is not aligned with the president in personality, but is aligned with the president in agenda. The idea that everybody's got to clown themselves and say stupid stuff like Lou Dobbs said last night on TV about Brian Kemp trying to destroy Georgia and not standing with the president, he's betraying the president. I'm sorry, but the president has no say in the Senate appointments of the various states. Now, I got to tell you, I know there are a lot of people listening who are mad at Brian Kemp as well. Because they bought this idea that Doug Collins needs to be in the Senate. No, Doug Collins does not need to be in the United States Senate. He needs to be where he is right now, scoring points against impeachment. If Brian Kemp were to put Doug Collins into the Senate today, we would not have this.
But it's coming back tomorrow, and what's more sad about tomorrow is we're coming back not with what you have always seen in impeachment. And you go back into the history of Clinton and Nixon and all, they were that comes to the Judiciary Committee with weight and gravitas. It does not anymore. In fact, it's a shell of itself, the Judiciary Committee is. And how are we going to start that? We're going to start it with a, well, let's talk about what an impeachable offense is. When most of this committee on our side, on the Democrat side, has already said we need to impeach him. Well, if they already know they need to impeach him, why are we wasting time? I'll tell you why. Because they have a problem. They're having a problem dealing with the facts that just came out of public hearings and private depositions. They're having a problem because this will be the first impeachment that has ever had with honestly dispute, not just disputed facts on why they want to impeach the president, but actually contradicted facts on was it a quid pro quo? Was there actual pressure? Was there anything actually done when the two participants on the call, the President of the United States and Mr. Zelensky, both said nothing was wrong, and Mr. Zelensky has said many times over, we felt no pressure.
They did feel no pressure. Zelensky has said that. They didn't do an investigation, and they got the money. Here's a little more Doug Collins.
But we have a saying down south is when something's going to be important, my mom would tell me, you're going to go on, I want you to go put your Sunday best on, and we're going to go to town. Well, a few months ago, the Democrats put on their, quote, Sunday best, and they said, we're going to have rules for impeachment, and it's going to take care of everything, and we're going to actually take care of the president. The president will have a chance to actually be a part of the process and look at witnesses and question. And this is where we're at now. The Judiciary Committee was the only place to do that. Well, starting tomorrow, they fail miserably in trying to provide any modicum of fairness in this process. The president's not sending a counsel tomorrow, and he shouldn't send a counsel car because there's nothing for them to ask. Why would they want to sit back through a constitutional law class, which most of them had to suffer through in law school? Tomorrow provides nothing except a dreary-eyed, drowsy appraisal for this country to watch as the impeachment process slowly drags on with no direction, no focus, because they're having one big problem. And the big problem is the president did nothing wrong, and they can't prove it.
You put him in the Senate today, you get rid of that. Well, so there's a big issue taking shape with this in inquiry in the House. We've got the Schiff report from the Intelligence Committee, 300 pages now, on impeachment, and they got phone calls. They got phone calls with Lev Parnas, Rudy Giuliani, and Devin Nunes. Now, this is interesting, and let me deal first with what it shows, and then the outrage over obtaining the phone calls. Adam Schiff, in his press conference about this, Devin Nunes had contact with Lev Parnas, who is the Rudy Giuliani associate who's been indicted by the federal government for essentially taking money and giving it to campaigns. He's taking money from Ukrainians, or Russians, rather, and he is Ukrainian, took money from Russians and spread it around trying to get a marijuana distribution facility open in Nevada. He missed the deadline, and then he also claimed he had all sorts of information from Ukraine. It reads like the corrupt prosecutor from Ukraine was playing people in this country for the fool, in particular Rudy Giuliani. Well, Rudy Giuliani appears to have reached out to Devin Nunes and asked Nunes to talk to Lev Parnas, who had all the goods on Ukraine, supposedly. Again, we now know it appears that a lot of what he had wasn't really true, but he was selling it to a variety of Republicans. Well, here's Adam Schiff on this information from Nunes.
Your report mentions cites call records involving ranking member Nunes. Did you speak to him or inquire about those with his office? And do you believe he should recuse himself later today on this vote? Also, do you or your staff plan to present this report to the Judiciary Committee in person?
The rules adopted by the Judiciary Committee provide that our staff counsel will present the report to the committee, so that's what we expect will take place. In terms of the ranking member, it won't surprise you, I'm going to reserve comment. It is, I think, deeply concerning that at a time when the President of the United States was using the power of his office to dig up dirt on a political rival, that there may be evidence that there were members of Congress complicit in that activity. Now, there's a lot more to learn about that, and I don't want to state that that is an unequivocal fact. But the allegations are deeply concerning. Our focus is on the president's conduct first and foremost. It may be the role of others to evaluate the conduct of members of Congress.
So there's a lot of Republican outrage over Adam Schiff and the Democrats getting these phone records. It appears the phone records might have come from Liparnas, who has been willing to cooperate with the impeachment inquiry. And he has, his lawyer has reached out. His lawyer has confirmed on social media last night that these phone calls between Devin Nunes and Lev Parnas happened. There were a series of phone calls between Nunes and Parnas. One lasted over 8 minutes. The others were very short, as if he was just calling, no one answered, getting voicemails or some such. And Republicans were taken aback that the Democrats had these phone calls. They had no knowledge in advance the Democrats had gotten this phone information. They did not know the impeachment investigators had them, and they're screaming bloody murder about it. One of the reasons is because in addition to having phone calls with a member of Congress, they have phone call records between Giuliani and John Solomon. John Solomon is the opinion writer slash reporter slash quasi-journalist at The Hill. And full disclosure, I'm not a big fan of his. I think a lot of what we a lot of what we believe on the right is wrong. Ukraine was not involved in the way a lot of people claim. There were some people in Ukraine who were, but a lot of what we got comes from John Solomon, and I think a lot of his reporting is wrong. But you're not allowed to say that because he goes on Fox News, and if you go on Fox News, it might as well be that Jesus said it. I think facts actually matter here, and I think he has poisoned the well when it comes to a lot of facts. But we need to be honest and open here with what's going on. Republicans are outraged that the Democrats have records not just from a member of Congress but from a reporter, and the Democrats are giving a huge pass. To all of it, let's say the roles were reversed. Let's say, let's just say that we have phone records between Adam Schiff and Rachel Maddow at MSNBC, a partisan activist who has a TV show on a news network. If Republicans were conducting a hearing and they had phone records between Adam Schiff and Rachel Maddow, and they exposed it to the world that they were in communication during a critical period to discuss messaging on politics, the Democrats and the press would be beside themselves in outrage and would be screaming about freedom of the press. That it's a Republican and a right-of-center journalist who appears on Fox News, it is notable that members of the press are absolutely quiet about this, that other members of the press have no qualms about the Democrats getting these records between Devin Nunes and John Solomon. They absolutely don't. They're totally fine with it. But here's the reality. If the Republicans were to do this, they were to get records of Adam Schiff talking to Rachel Maddow and expose it, there really would be nothing wrong with it. It would suggest they're doing a thorough job in an investigation. And the same with Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff having records, he didn't get the records from Devin Nunes. He didn't seize Devin Nunes' phone records. He got somehow or another, and we assume through a court process, through the grand jury process, in fact, probably through the Mueller process. And remember that they sought grand jury information related to these individuals, and a judge granted it to them. So through a legal grand jury process that involved a federal prosecutor, they got these phone records. Now, I don't think that's outrageous at all that they got these phone records. Here's what I find outrageous. They got these phone records. These phone records show a member of Congress coordinating with Rudy Giuliani at the height of the effort to smear our ambassador to Ukraine and claim that Ukraine was undermining Russia. They've got that. They've got phone records between a member of Congress and a journalist, and that journalist and these other individuals who were all trying to build the story about Ukraine that we now know wasn't really true. We've got phone records between this guy who's been indicted and this congressman, all at the height of this stuff, and that's all the Democrats have done with it? They got nothing. They can show that Rudy Giuliani and a journalist and possibly a member of Congress were trying to steer the president's agenda and shape the president's opinion. But that's not about the president, and that's not impeachable about the president. And that's the remarkable thing here, is that the Democrats clearly had a level of competence that I did not know they possessed to be able to get all of this information. And it is staggering, staggering. It is outrageous. Now that they got the phone records, but then they got the phone records and they can't do anything with it. I mean, the Republicans are running circles around them on this. They've got all of this information and they can't shift public opinion at all. That's the outrageous part. I mean, that just shows you why this is a matter that should be left to the voters next November instead of trying to do an impeachment of the president. The Democrats have all that stuff and they can't even get their act together. Let the voters decide.
I really do like his opinion on things.
Eric Erickson, the information you need and the truth you demand.
He tells it like it is.
Live every weekday.
Yeah, the phone number 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. You can't call now, actually. You can't actually call. The phone lines are turned off. My producer is at the dentist. He set his appointment 6 months. We didn't have a radio show 6 months ago when he made his appointment, and he's also the call screener. So he's at the dentist. All right. We got to get back to more of this impeachment stuff. The Democrats just aren't happy with where things are headed. They got all sorts of problems. And they're trying to rush now impeachment because they're worried about swing voters and they're worried about swing districts. And they feel like if they stay on this too long, that swing voters are going to get upset. This is a CNN reporter talking about the Democratic rumblings.
Or you're now hearing rumblings within Democrats saying maybe we should just go with censure or not really knowing how to move forward on this, given where the president is and given where Republicans are. And given that Republicans, especially Elise Stefanik, some of the more moderate ones, and Will Hurd, after the 2 weeks of testimony that they heard from fact witnesses, did not move at all. They said that they do not believe that anything the president did was impeachable. And in fact, they seem to be protecting the president more than they were prior to these 2 weeks.
Yeah. They got issues. They got political issues. They got timing issues. They've got partisan issues. They've got internal squabbling over how to proceed. Do they do a censure? Do they try impeachment? They know it's not going to get through the Senate. So is it really worth their time to do? They really wanted it to be bipartisan. Here's Al Green talking on Neil Cavuto, and hat tip to him, by the way, for being willing to go on Neil Cavuto's show.
There are no racial issues going on here. Now, I know you want to expand this. Do you worry that as things stand now, there's just not enough for you to force this president out of office?
Well, I would say this to you. We always put the racial issues aside. I just choose not to. Those who choose to can do this. But I think that there is enough here to impeach the president. We have to do what we must.
We've got record low unemployment for African Americans, though, right?
Well, the Constitution doesn't say anything about an exemption for record low unemployment for anybody.
Right. Yes, but they would like to have it be bipartisan, and they haven't been able to get it to be bipartisan. And that's kind of their problem in all of this, is they haven't been able to mount a case for bipartisanship. And if they can't make it bipartisan, how do they proceed? Here's Liz Cheney with the Republican response on all this.
We have been pointing out and talking about now for several weeks since the impeachment process began the extent to which the process was fundamentally unfair. And so I would just ask people to remember that they have failed despite the fact that they had a process that basically put everything tilted in their direction. The Democrats were able to act as judge and prosecutor. The Democrats were able to select every single witness. The Democrats were able to prevent and did prevent witnesses from answering Republican questions. The Democrats decided what the American people would see and when. The Democrats decided the timing on the release of important pieces of transcripts. They still have not released the transcript of the IC Inspector General. And so the Democrats essentially stacked the deck in their favor. And despite the fact that they did this, and even with every unfair advantage and unprecedented advantage they gave themselves, including preventing the president from having any access to the proceedings, preventing his counsel from having any participation in the proceedings, they now have come out of this and fundamentally failed to prove their case.
Yeah, look, they're headed to the Judiciary Committee today, and I'll Pot up the audio here in a little bit as this hearing takes shape, and you can hear some of it. Also have some interesting words about from Jerry Nadler back during the Clinton impeachment. But when we come back, Kamala Harris has dropped out of the presidential race, and suddenly Democratic voters and progressive activists are slamming the racism of the Democratic Party and the racism of the process, the very racism of the process that got America its first black president, Barack Obama. It's such a terrible, terrible, awful racist process. Well, there's some news happening right now. It appears that the president has left NATO early, and he canceled a press conference. He had a 2-hour press conference yesterday, but if press reports are right, so there's a video circulating of Emmanuel Macron, Boris Johnson, and Justin Trudeau laughing about the president's press conference with Macron. It was, let's just be honest, it was a very interesting press conference that the president had. And, they were laughing about it. Justin Trudeau, you can see him in this video, say you can see the president's staff's jaw drop during this press conference. And now the British media is saying, and let's be clear here, this is the British media saying that President Trump embarrassed his staff. But he had a press conference a short time ago with Angela Merkel, and he was asked about Justin Trudeau. And let me see if I can, I'm doing this on the fly here as the audio has just come out. Let's see if I can get this.
Do you have a video of Prime Minister talking about you last night?
Well, he's too fast.
Do you think that Germany is too naive?
And honestly, with Trudeau, he's a nice guy. I find him to be a very nice guy. But, you know, the truth is that I called him out on the fact that he's not paying 2%, and I guess he's not very happy about it. I mean, you were there, a couple of you were there, and he's not paying 2%, and he should be paying 2%. It's Canada, they have money, and they should be paying 2%. So I called him out on that, and I'm sure he wasn't happy about it, but that's the way it is. Look, I'm representing the U.S., and he should be paying more than he's paying, and he understands it. So I can imagine he's not that happy, but that's the way it is.
That was the president in a press conference with Angela Merkel. She sat very stoically, not moving. And, we'll see where this goes. News is, and the president, he's only leaving a few hours earlier than had apparently been planned anyway. And we'll still have a meeting with the Danish prime minister. People were speculating that would be canceled. Now. We've got the Judiciary Committee. It's going to start at 10 a.m. with the impeachment stuff. I will pot up the audio when it is impossible to ignore it. We're going to do our best to ignore it at the beginning because it's just going to be opening statements and formalities. One of the people who's going to testify is an impeachment scholar, a legal scholar, who's going to say that what the president did is the worst thing ever done by a president in American history. Let me see if I can find the exact quote for you here. Yes. So one of the impeachment witnesses, this is from Kyle Cheney at the Politico, will say President Trump's actions toward Ukraine are by far the worst conduct in presidential history, and is the reason impeachment was included in the Constitution. Now, I want to put this in perspective for you. The president calling Ukraine's president after withholding some money from Ukraine, asking Ukraine to conduct an investigation into the Bidens and the 2016 election, the CrowdStrike stuff, and the president then releasing the money without Ukraine having done the investigation. This is, according to this impeachment, quote, by far the worst misconduct in presidential history. Y'all, We have had a president take the land of Cherokee Indians and kill them en masse as they marched across this country under American military arms. We have had a president of the United States suspend habeas corpus, even though the Constitution says only Congress can do that. We have had an American president put American citizens in internment camps. We have had a president of the United States resegregate the American military and operate a service of brown shirts who harass newspapers and citizens who dare to criticize him. That would be Woodrow Wilson. But somehow the president making a phone call. We've had a president lie under oath in a court of law to obstruct an American citizen's right to justice. And we've had a president help cover up the break-in of his political opponent's campaign offices. But somehow this president making a phone call to a foreign leader asking for a favor that did not actually happen and giving them money even after they didn't do the favor because the money was lawfully appropriated by Congress, that is somehow the worst act. This is why I can't take impeachment seriously. Listen, I don't think the president should have done it. I think it was stupid for him to do. He should not have done it. And there's no there. The president should not have done what he did. But he did it. The president should not have done what he did, but he didn't get anything out of it. The president should not have done what he did, but is it a high crime, misdemeanor, or bribery? It's certainly not bribery, and that's what the Democrats are now saying, is that it's bribery. It's not bribery. It is not bribery for the president to ask for a favor and then hand them money that was lawfully appropriated by Congress. Bribery would be if the president took his own money and gave it to Ukraine's president and said, here's this money. Now go launch this investigation and turn up evidence to show Joe Biden guilty of something. He didn't do that. I'm yelling. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be yelling. Sounding like Hannity. Y'all, listen. I'm not a big fan of the president's, and he knows this. We talk on the phone. We haven't in a while. But I'm supporting him in 2020. I didn't support him in 2016. I didn't vote for any of them in 2016. I voted third party because I didn't like Hillary. She'd be terrible, and I really thought Trump would be terrible. And he's wound up to be a much better president than I ever expected. He's kept his promises. He has he's not just judges, but tax cuts and deregulation and his appointments within the executive branch. He's done a lot of stuff I don't like, but he's done a lot of stuff I like. George W. Bush did a lot of stuff I liked, and he did a lot of stuff I didn't like. And I think in the run-up to 2020, he's now a known quantity. He was a hypothetical in 2016, and a lot of people were telling me, trust him, and they were behaving terribly. And why did I want to trust him when the president does seem to have this unique ability to draw out the worst in people? But he's been a good president by and large. His policies have been sound. I think character counts, and I said so in 2016, and I did not vote for either party because character counted, and I both thought they had terrible character. But over 100 million Americans disagreed with me and said, you know what, better him than her. And I'm at that point, better him than them. Hey, I just, y'all, if the president had done something really bad, you would be able to get Republicans. And see, this is the underlying problem with the Democrats' presumptions, is they have convinced themselves that no matter what the president did, no Republican would stand up to him. They really have convinced themselves that if the president stood on the street on Fifth Avenue and killed someone, all the Republicans would defend him. And I don't believe that is so. I believe there are a lot of Republicans who behind the scenes dislike the president and aren't willing to say so publicly. You know, that's one of the kind of the annoying things about this outrage over Brian Kemp, is that there are a lot of people out there, I do believe, and on the Republican side, who actually hate the president, but they're not willing to stand up and say so publicly. I'm going to be honest with you. I'll tell you exactly what I believe. You will never have to guess what I think because it is my job to tell you what I think. You don't have to agree with me. I mean, it's why we have phone calls. Although you can't call in right now because Charlie's getting his teeth cleaned. But Nonetheless, normally you can go in, you can go on Facebook, you can leave a comment. Feel free to disagree with me. I don't care. This is America. We're allowed to disagree. We can agree to disagree. But it frustrates me to see so many Republicans who behind the scenes badmouth the president and they won't say anything publicly. I think that's very two-faced of them. But it also frustrates me to see a lot of Democrats who publicly rah-rah impeachment, and behind the scenes, they're thinking, why the hell are we doing this? We got an election in less than a year. And privately, some of the Democrats you're going to see today demanding the president be impeached are behind the scenes saying, wait a second, guys. We got an election in less than a year and he's thoroughly beatable unless we get distracted. The entire process is driven by the media these days. So many of these people want to seal clap in front of the media and tell people what they want to hear, as opposed to actually telling you what they think. Philip tells me lots of people are agreeing on and are disagreeing on Facebook. It's okay. I don't read the comments. Never read the comments. I don't care if you disagree. We're Americans. We're allowed to agree to disagree. What I hate, though, on both sides, it's not just Republicans, it's Democrats, and it's not just Democrats, it's Republicans. It's all of them. It's even libertarians, the few that there are, is that they'll tell you something in public that they don't believe in private. In private, a number of the Republicans you're going to see today on the Judiciary Committee loathe the president. In private, a number of these people badmouth the president in private. He's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's out of his depth. But for all the people around him, the president would lead us off to war. He would bankrupt the country. He would do something stupid. Of course the president did this. This is what the president does, blah, 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 blah. This is what they say behind the scenes. I talk to these people. No, I'm not going to out them. I'm not going to shame them publicly. They say it in private because they know the president will go after them and you'll turn on them. That's part of the problem that these people aren't willing to be public about what they think is because they know the reaction from people inside the present cults of personality will be to savage them and destroy them. I mean, look at the reaction to Kelly Loeffler. No one even knows what she is, but oh my God, she gave money to Mitt Romney. She must be terrible. Donald Trump gave money to Mitt Romney too. So they don't want to be public with it. But the same is true with the Democrats. I know some of the Democrats. And behind the scenes, they think this is – now, some of them are true believers, and they really do think what the president did is bad and we should impeach him. But some of them are like, this is nuts. We got an election in a year. Let's do the fishing expedition, find all the dirt, and use it in ads. And they don't actually want to go down this road. Now, some of these people are starting to speak up, and they're starting to say, wait a second, impeachment needs to be bipartisan. They don't actually believe that the Republicans will always refuse to impeach the president. They do actually believe that some of the Republicans would be willing to speak up. I mean, for God's sakes, you got Will Hurd out there. Will Hurd, a Republican on the Intelligence Committee, was in the CIA. Will Hurd does not like the president of the United States. Will Hurd is leaving Congress. He is retiring. He's a congressman from South Texas. He's the only black Republican in the House of Representatives with Mia Love gone. He does not like the president of the United States. And even Will Hurd is not buying the impeachment stuff. Even Will Hurd thinks that the Democrats have not made their case with the information they've given. It is striking to see a guy like Will Hurd. I mean, let's go back from 2 weeks ago to Will Hurd in the impeachment process, in the Intelligence Committee. This is long. We'll skip around in here, but just listen to some of this.
Thank you, Dr. Hill, Mr. Holmes, for your years of service to this country, and I appreciate y'all being here today. Throughout this process, I have said that I want to learn the facts so we can get to the truth. So why are we here? Because of two things that occurred during the president's July 25th phone call with Ukrainian President Zelensky. The use of the phrase, do us a favor, though, in reference to the 2016 presidential election, and the mention of the word Biden. I believe both statements were inappropriate, misguided foreign policy, and it's certainly not how the executive, current or in the future, should handle such a call. Over the course of these hearings, the American people have learned about a series of events that, in my view, have undermined our national security and undercut Ukraine, a key partner on the front lines against Russian aggression. We've heard of U.S. officials carrying uncoordinated, confusing, and conflicting messages that created doubt and uncertainty in Kyiv at a time when a new reformist administration has just taken office and was ready to fight corruption and work with us to advance other U.S. objectives. I disagree with this sort of bungling foreign policy. But through these hearings, many of my colleagues have unwittingly undermined the Ukrainian government by suggesting that it is subservient to the United States, and without the United States, they wouldn't be able to function. The Ukrainians, as you stated, Mr. Holmes, is in a hot war with Russia, and they are holding their own. We could benefit from the experience of the Ukrainians, not the other way around. While I thought the Intelligence Committee would actually be engaged in oversight of the intelligence and national security communities, unfortunately, we are not. We're here talking about one of the most serious constitutional duties we have as members of Congress, the impeachment and removal of the President of the United States. Over the past weeks, we've learned a few things. The officials on the July 25th call have many different opinions on whether the call was concerning or not. And just because Vice President Biden is running for president does not mean that corruption related to Burisma, Ukraine's largest natural gas company, and Americans' ties to it are not concerning. But there's also a lot we do not know. We have not heard from Rudy Giuliani. We haven't heard from Hunter Biden. I'd like to know more about both of their activities, why they talk to whom and to whom.
Yep, seems like we're missing that. And otherwise, there's nothing impeachable here, according to Will Hurd, who doesn't like the president, who's leaving Congress, who should be one of the Democrats or one of the Republicans that the Democrats should be able to persuade. And they haven't been able to persuade him. He's got nothing to lose. And they haven't been able to persuade a guy like that. Because what the president did, I think it was dumb of the president to do. He shouldn't have done it. Should have known better. It got him into an impeachment situation. He knew before this that there were people inside the White House who didn't like him, who were trying every which way to undermine him. He knew this whistleblower was one of those people. And he did it anyway. Couldn't help it. Lack of self-control. I get it. But let the voters deal with this in November. There's no reason to impeach the president for this. Let the voters deal with it. And the fact that the Democrats feel the need to do this has more to do with their need to placate the progressive base to avoid a revolt than anything else.
Well connected and well respected. It's Eric Erickson, live every weekday.
Can we get away from impeachment, please? I got a little more audio and we'll play it, but we got the Kelly Loeffler speech coming up. We've got the impeachment inquiry in the Judiciary Committee coming up. I've got some more audio from little Eric Swalwell. I shouldn't say I'm kind of opposed to the everybody's got a nasty nickname movement. But the guy does annoy me. The fact that guy thought he could be president of the United States. Oh, my goodness. But we got him. We got some Doug Collins. In fact, let me go on and play the Doug Collins audio here from he was on with this looks like he was just on Fox on America's Newsroom.
It's a new day, new witnesses, new little shiny hearing room. We're moving to Ways and Means. But guess what? Same old sad problem. They have no facts. They can do anything they want to do. They can have law professors ad nauseum bore us to death today. But at the end of the day, their problem is they don't have the facts to impeach this president. So they're trying to just sham it through as best they can to convince the American people they actually have something.
That's kind of where we're headed with this now. A word, if you will, away from all the politics of the day. We got stuff besides politics happening in America today. In fact, we have some of the most important stuff in America today is without any politics at all, or so we can hope that it is without politics. It is important.
Why would I betray?
We all have our secrets. You just didn't get to yours yet.
The world is arming faster than we can respond.
Where's 007?
Oh, yes, my friends. The James Bond trailer has dropped. Yes. I cannot wait. April 8th, 2020 will be the next James Bond. No Time to Die. I do have to agree. My buddy Aaron Earls on Twitter, he tweeted out, every time a new Bond movie comes out, I'm like, wait, haven't they already used the name before? It's true. All of the names sound alike, and I guess it's the no and the never and all of that. No Time to Die, Spectre, Skyfall, Quantum of Solace, Casino Royale, GoldenEye, Die Another Day, Goldfinger, Doctor No, Tomorrow Never Dies, License to Kill, The World's Not Enough, Live and Let Die, Diamonds Are Forever, on Her Majesty's Secret Service, For Your Eyes Only, View to Kill, Moonraker, Never Say Never Again, From Russia with Love, You Only Live Twice. That's not a James Bond one. They all do kind of sound alike, though. Doctor No. No, okay, yeah, You Only Live Twice is one. Diamonds Are Forever, Live and Let Die, For Your Eyes Only, No Time to Die, Die Another Day, The World Is Not Enough, Tomorrow Never Dies, The Living Daylights. They all kind of sound the same, but come on, let's just admit. I like Daniel Craig as James Bond. So I'm a big James Bond fan. I have been watching the very first James Bond movie I ever saw was For Your Eyes Only. No, I take that back. I was too young to see Moonraker. For Your Eyes Only, I think I was 6 years old and the family wanted to go see in the theater. And then my aunt and uncle took us to see Octopussy and A View to a Kill. I don't like to say that word, but that's the name of the movie. but I've seen them all. And my oldest has seen all of them. And we're absolutely going to go see this James Bond. And I like Daniel Craig. I do. He's a good James Bond.